The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Jeremiah chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A new covenant. That's the theme of our text from Jeremiah this morning. A new covenant. A new covenant presupposes a former or old covenant. Furthermore, a new covenant suggests that there was something wrong with the one it supplants. Something about it that was judged to be inadequate, deficient, or somehow no longer satisfactory. So what was the old covenant? And what was wrong with it? The word of the Lord recorded by Jeremiah doesn't leave us in any doubt about which covenant the Lord wanted to make new. It was the covenant that he had made with the children of Israel at the time of the Exodus. The Lord says that the new covenant will be different than the covenant I made with their fathers on the day when I grasped their hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. At Mount Sinai, the Lord had said to the children of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He had spoken gracious words to them, words to remind them of his loving actions on their behalf. But there was a problem with this old covenant. They broke my covenant, the Lord says. They broke it, though I was their husband. The old covenant was broken, and the fault lay with the people. The Lord had done everything he had promised. He had been a loving and faithful husband to them. But they had broken the marriage covenant with him. He had said, I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. But though he had loved them as his own, and had provided for their every need, again and again, they had taken up with other gods. They had been unfaithful to him, chasing after false gods, giving them credit when things went well, and looking to them for help when times were difficult. As a result, the Lord had a decision to make. By rights, he could divorce his people. He could separate himself from them and no longer support them. He could wash his hands of them, renounce them, and let them go their own way, to consort with whatever false gods they pleased. To hell with them, he could have said, and he would have been perfectly justified. Hell is what they deserved. But that's not what he did. He chose instead to make a new covenant with Israel, his unfaithful bride. And let there be no mistake about it. It is the Lord who took the initiative. just as he had once freed a bunch of slaves from bondage in Egypt, had made them his treasured possession among all the peoples, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So now he would act once again. You might have noticed as I read the text that it is filled to overflowing with things the Lord says he will do. He uses the word I 10 times in those 4 verses, 7 of them in the combination I will. This text is all about what God was going to do to replace the broken old covenant between himself and his unfaithful people with a renewed covenant. A covenant he would establish in such a way that it wouldn't end up in the same sorry state the previous covenant had. The Lord calls it a new covenant. Yet there is much continuity with the old. It's still about the relationship. I, your God, and you, my people. Thus it could still be described as a marriage covenant, as indeed it is in the New Testament. In addition, it still involves God's Torah, which here means more than strictly just law. We understand it better when we see that Torah is God's teaching, his word. What's new about this covenant is how God communicates with his people. At Sinai, he put his Torah before them and wrote it on tablets of stone. He was present among his people in the tabernacle and then later in the temple. In the new covenant, he says, he will put his Torah within them and write it on their hearts. Ultimately, God's new covenant is established through Jesus, the Lord, in our flesh. He is the Word of God become flesh, the pinnacle of God speaking to his human creatures through his Son. Christ is God truly with us, tabernacling among us, partaking of our nature. And not only is Jesus God's own Word made flesh and bone with a beating heart, he also pours out his Holy Spirit on his bride, so that through the indwelling of the Spirit, members of God's covenant people may truly know the Lord. Jesus explains the Spirit's work as guiding God's people into the truth, as interpreting his word to them so that they may understand it. Thus, in the new covenant, God is present with his people, his church, by his Spirit, through the Word, and in the sacraments. This is how he accomplishes his promise to put his teaching within them and to write it on their hearts so that he is their God and they his people. With this description of how God establishes and sustains his new covenant, it's clear that you and I are beneficiaries of it. Through holy baptism and the gift of the Spirit, by the preaching of the gospel and participation in the body and blood of our Savior, God has made us his people and has made himself our God. Like the Christians of Corinth, St. Paul could describe us as letters from Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. This all sounds great, doesn't it? But are you, are we, really more faithful to the Lord than Israel of old? Do we give him all the credit when things go well? Or do we worship the false gods of hard work, or good decisions, or intelligence, or perhaps simply good luck, and praise them instead of God? On the other side of the coin, when difficulties arise, do you look to God, or is it your family, or your bank account, or determination that you count on to get you through? The truth is that God could bring the same complaints against you and me that he brought against Israel, for we too have been unfaithful in our affections. So where does that leave us? Well, what does the Lord say? I will put my word within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and will remember their sin no more. It's not obvious in the translation, but the verbs Jeremiah wrote here, that is, the verbs the Lord used, involve continuing action. God's answer to our unfaithfulness is that he keeps on putting his word within us and is continually writing it in our hearts. He writes the law to prick your conscience and bring you to repentance. And he writes the gospel so that you do not lose heart, but rather trust in him for forgiveness and life. The Apostle John describes his work this way: if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, the Lord takes his pen, dips it in the blood of Jesus, and writes across your sinful heart, forgiven. 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 Forgiven through the blood of the Lamb. And that forgiveness is so complete, so absolute, that when he forgives you, your sin is wiped from his memory. How that can be, we cannot understand. After all, he knows all things. Nevertheless, he who cannot lie says, I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. All of this because Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, the priest who offered himself as the perfect and sufficient sacrifice for sin. I have loved you with an everlasting love, the Lord says. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. And according to God's promise, on the basis of the new covenant, St. Paul writes the blessed truth, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Rejoice. The Lord forgives your iniquity and remembers your sin no more. Receive the new covenant in his blood for your forgiveness. Know that for Jesus' sake you are cleansed and redeemed, with no debt left to pay. Thank God, in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.